This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
I'll throw some monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie?
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
You're going to fit right in, man. Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing good, man. Look at you. You can get some stinky food in here. I got some stinky food in here.
What do you have?
I'm going to have some garlic chicken.
Oh, I just have Panda Express.
Have fun with that in there, Dusty.
I know. He's got garlic chicken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's like chunks of like fresh roasted garlic.
Danny's still violating all of the workplace lunch rules with stinky foods.
He really is. I really do. I think that you're like bring curry on a plane guy. And oh, just no, like,
100%.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
You are a monster.
I am. I told you. The one faux pas that I do not commit, I do not put fish in the microwave. Everything else, fair game, man.
No, it's not fair game.
Oh, it is.
There's standards and practices that we have to live up to.
We live in a society. There are rules.
There are no rules. It's the wild, wild west out here.
No, it's not. It's like baseball. There's a lot of unwritten rules that you have to abide by.
Let me just say, I get a lot of high and tights thrown at me.
Well, I just feel bad for poor Jordan in here because last night I ate like an unsupervised 9-year-old at home, and I'm kind of paying for it today. A couple of frozen chimichangas in a Hot Pocket, and then wash that down with a piece of chocolate cake and an ice cream sandwich.
Every time I hear chimichangas, I think of, Meet the Fockers?
Lord.
But I wanted some chimichangas.
Can we rewind that dinner last night?
I was not in the mood for cooking, so it was microwave time.
Wife's still out of town, right?
Dude.
Yes.
Yeah, that tracks.
Chimichangas and what?
A couple of frozen chimichangas and a Hot Pocket.
A Hot Pocket?
Yeah. It was ham and cheese.
It was a smorgasbord. Just like threw it all in the oven and was like, whatever.
I don't know, one at a time in the microwave.
Oh, you microwave? Oh, you heathen.
Yeah.
I'm imagining, okay, my vision of this, because you have said this before, Rust, is that you were doing this in like socks, your underwear, and a t-shirt, and you're just shuffling around in there going, ooh, got a chimichanga.
No, that is totally false. I was not wearing socks.
Flip-flops, baby.
But you're wearing your t-shirt, which yesterday, I believe it was a...
Smalls.
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
Yes.
Okay, so you have ham from Sandlot.
Yeah.
And it was your killing me, Smalls. The day before was Ashley Schaefer, BMW. Yeah.
Woo!
But you're wearing that and just shuffling around, and maybe even your shirt's tucked into your undies you're going in there and you're pushing the buttons.
Look, I got a little bit more class than that.
All right.
Do you?
Not tucked in. So you're just Winnie the Poohing it in your house.
Just shirt cocking it everywhere.
Treating your chimichangas like a honeypot.
It's okay. At least I made sure all the curtains were closed so I didn't have to subject the neighbors to any of it. You know?
I love this all so much.
Listen,
and this is fantastic. And you know what? It's the only time you can do stuff like that is when your family's out of town.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have kids, so you have a level of decency you have to abhor to. I don't. So I'll Winnie the Pooh it regularly.
Yeah, I went to the store last night and I could tell the cashier was kind of giving me the side eye as I put my stuff up there.
Sure, I need you to put on pants.
Yeah, well, no.
The sign says no shirt, no shoes, no service. There's nothing about pants.
But yeah, I told her, I was like, yeah, I'm eating like a bachelor the next couple of days. I don't have the wife telling me I can't eat this stuff, so I'm eating it.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like giving you like a, oof. Hey, look at this. I'm going to eat all this.
There was a couple of energy drinks in there, too. I did have a couple of yogurts, so at least, you know, that balanced out a little bit.
No, that just makes it worse for Jordan, who's in there. Hey, Jordan. Jordan Schultz, by the way.
Throw some dairy on top of that. Good Lord.
You're just in there. Just, like it's a pot of just hot garbage stewing in your belly. And that's going to come out eventually.
When's the last time you ate, like, complete trash? I mean...
It's Thursday.
Dog ass.
About 18 hours ago.
Wait, hold on. I currently am eating Panda Express for lunch.
I don't think that's complete. Like, that's
you don't
not...
Think,
That's not great, but it's okay, not like.
Are you talking about him?
Yes. I'm talking pure debauchery.
It was a couple weeks ago when my wife and kids were gone for a night. Yeah.
See? Before we went to LA?
It was a okay. full pizza. And then I was at, Papa Murphy's? Went to Papa Murphy's, did the take and bake.
Oh, you got your own take and bake?
Yeah. But then.
Personal take and bake.
I go to pick it up and I go, ooh, what do we have here? They're like, oh yeah, it's buy one, get one free on the sides. And I was like, well, don't mind if I do. cheesy breadsticks and was it a s'mores? It's like a little s'mores pie thing that you put in there. Are you kidding me? It was amazing.
And just sprawled out.
It was amazing.
Did you sprawl out in the living room?
Yeah. And then they're like, you can get a 2-liter. And I was like, whoa. No.
Diet?
I had already had 1 liter at home that I went and got right when the kids left. So I was like, I don't need a 2-liter. So it was all of it. And then it was, took a little walk of shame. I did walk across to the AMPM.
Took a 2-liter there because it was cheaper?
No. Got myself a Toll House ice cream sandwich.
Oh, God.
The chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich.
Oh, you went full debauchery.
Yeah. It was so good.
I think I told you this the other day. I don't normally get caught up in the commercial world of like being convinced, but my wife was watching Ink Master. Okay, keep in mind, my wife has zero tattoos.
All right.
But she very much is into Ink Master, and she wants to get like this giant tiger tattoo. And I'm like, why don't you start smaller?
Yeah.
Like I'm not against you getting a tattoo. Just start a little small. Anyways, they had to work in a Taco Bell advertisement.
Yeah, you told this. Yeah.
The Live Moss part of it. Yeah. Right. So I went and lived Moss at like 10:30 at night because I live in Newburgh and there's two choices for what's open. It's Muchas Gracias or Taco Bell. And I was like,
I'd go Muchas. Well,
that's the thing is I normally go Muchas, but I really wanted like that level of crappiness.
Sometimes you got to make a run for the border.
Yes. I mean, so you just have that. What it was is that cheese sauce that they use in the quesadilla. I think that's what I really craved more than anything.
Nothing just beats a bean burrito with no onions. Just a
Why do Taco Bell onions suck so much?
Well, I mean,
like,
we probably answered the question.
Highly processed. They're probably like freeze dried.
But like, it's just they have other ingredients that don't suck that much. That like, there's nothing an onion at Taco Bell has ever improved. It's very weird.
What's weird is that they just like throw it in with their soupy beans in the bean and cheese burrito.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're talking
about.
Don't
do that.
Like, why? Like, they're trying to add texture to it. And I'm like, no, I want this.
The soupy.
I want this bean paste to inject into my face hole.
That's why I always get the bean burrito with no onions. Yeah. And that is going to be a drop.
But yeah, that's.
You know it.
But yeah, no, I am not above. We did a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My wife and I ordered a pizza from this spot in Newburgh that my buddy owns. But he also has this stuff called truffle bread.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
And it's like this.
Had me at truffle.
It's this big for those that for radio audience.
That's like a foot and a half.
Yeah. It's huge. And you know what? Let me pull up the exact ingredients because it's absolutely amazing and awful at the same time. Where is it at? Menu. There we go. So this is like the most insane thing. You could like, I'll just take some truffle bread. And it's Evo mozzarella, herbs, chili flake, truffle oil, and honey.
Dang. That sounds really good.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's huge. And this pizza is huge. We got the, what do we call it? The spicy flyer, which is red sauce, mozzarella, pepperoni, and fresh jalapeno.
That's good. That sounds really good.
It's a big, and it's
just big pizza.
It's a big pizza, and everything has a little bit of a honey drizzle. That's kind of like, that's their thing.
All right.
It's called honey pie. So there you go.
I see what they did there. Yeah. I like honey.
I'm going to tell you, man, it adds a little bit to everything. I'm not going to lie. Does. But when I got done, man, you had to roll me out of the living room. It was bad. Like, it wasn't like, let me have a few pieces of pizza, like 2 pieces of pizza and a little bit of truffle bread. It was, let me have half this pizza and half this truffle bread. And I was like, oh, God, I think I just ate 3,000 calories.
And that's the last time you went full glutton?
Yeah, that was the last time I went full absolutely sideways.
It happens, man.
It happens. But it's pizza, clearly. It's pizza all around.
Yeah, good points on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. You guys are talking as if Taco Bell uses more than four ingredients. That's a good point. I mean, it's
how they've managed to repackage something so many times is truly incredible.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Yet are still having a hard time bringing back that damn Mexican pizza.
Why can't we end the potatoes? Two things that they like. Why?
Like they insist on shoving these not horrible nacho fries in my face, but bring back the Mexican pizza, man.
The nacho fries are good. I'm going to stand on that.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that you don't order the nacho fries?
No, they're garbage.
Okay. I was just a question because if you were going to be like, well, yeah, of course I order them still, then we would have a little bit of an issue. But as long as you're not ordering them, all right, this is acceptable. All right, Danny. You are being called a monster on the fan text line.
I mean,
because of the food. What? This isn't. It doesn't smell that bad right now. Oh, I'm not, sure it's when
it's
you
not,
heat it up.
Yeah, it's not warm. So
yeah, we're gonna have some smells
tortellini,
going
garlic,
on here.
Garlic chicken, Parmesan cheese.
There you go. It looks delicious. You even brought in a.
I didn't want to get it soggy.
You brought in a half of a jar
of pasta sauce. Yeah.
Let's see. What's you that? Travel prepared.
It's the fire roasted tomato garlic.
There you, okay.
Look at that.
You're always ready. It looks like a buffet every day at lunchtime when Danny comes in here.
Because I don't like my food getting soggy. So there's always like I brought in the chicken and rice and I had my sriracha.
Look,
yesterday.
I understand it. I actually am here for that. You don't want to have soggy. No, soggy food sucks.
It does. It's miserable and I'm very
soggy
particular
food
about
does
it.
Suck. But people are blaming you in being a Raider fan and a USC fan for we should have seen this coming with the food.
Yeah.
You know,
listen, I have a type.
Your type is I am going to be very, very
obnoxious.
Yeah, I'm kind of self-centered in my own orbit here about food. And the fandom actually...
Is it starting to add up for you?
It kind of does. Like I never really noticed it. And then people are like, hey, why are we surprised? He's a Raider fan. Like, yes, he's an SC guy again. Yeah. You know, this is what happens.
It tracks.
Well, and to the texter telling me to get an air fryer for my Hot Pockets and such, that's like putting lipstick on a pig, man.
It does class it up.
It's the whole point.
No, you got to get a little crunch to it. I'm with him.
The point of the Hot Pocket is you got that sucker done in 2 minutes.
Are you not kidding? You have that thing done in the air fryer in 3 minutes.
Fight here.
I'm telling you, they are done so fast.
No, air fryers are great.
I know the air fryer is great. We have one. We use it all the time.
Dude, why don't you use it?
I just don't use it for a Hot Pocket.
You got to crisp it up.
Or microwave chimichangas.
Can you, every time you say Hot Pocket, can you please say Hot Pocket?
Hot Pocket.
Thank you.
I'm not going to put a Hot Pocket in the air fryer.
Thank you.
It's kind of defeating the purpose of the Hot Pocket, though.
It's defeating the purpose of the Hot Pocket. Come on.
Hot Pocket.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, we have to harmonize the Hot Pocket part. All right. Woo. Let's do this.
We've fired up now.
Yeah. Look, this show's about to take a stark turn here in about five minutes, okay? So let's get these chuckles out while we can. Actually, we do have... I have plenty of palate cleansers for everybody here, all right? We got plenty of palate cleansers, and we will get to them. The Big Ten has got a lot of money now.
And
apparently, they're not done expanding. Even though they said last week, it's like they can't make up their mind on
Turns out a lot of money changes minds.
We've got... The NBA is doing something that I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because... It's something that has been long lost on the league, and it's what made the league so great, and they're getting back to their roots now. We'll have that coming up at 1:15, I think. But where we have to start this bad boy before we hand it off, at 3 o'clock, no primetime today, we will be handing off directly to Seahawks preseason football.
Week 2, baby. It's here already.
A huge game today.
Huge game.
They're playing the Bears.
Oof. A race to the bottom.
Yeah, boy, this is a stinker of a matchup. But Bears are 1-0, Seahawks 0-1. We will hand that off at 3 o'clock. Where we got to start this thing, though, is the suspension has been upped, but the response is what's catching the headlines now. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
I want this bean paste to inject into my face hole.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Deshaun Watson's suspension has been revealed by the National Football League and the NFLPA. Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Browns, he will serve an 11-game suspension and be fined a record $5 million.
That's a record fine. Kind of pisses me off, I'm not going to lie.
What?
That is a record fine kind of pisses me off.
Why?
Because it should be a lot higher than that.
Oh, for like somebody else getting that?
Yeah, just in general, you know.
Yeah. Like
Ray Rice, Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Well. Kareem Hunt. Run the gamut.
$5 million is a big chunk of change.
It is.
And here's the thing. So
not for Deshaun Watson, it's not.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah.
Here's the thing, though, is that in the whole grand scheme of things here, this suspension is actually really significant. If you go back and you look at suspension lengths in NFL history.
They've never been that long outside of the you're done for a year stuff.
But even the you're done indefinitely, you know how long Ray Rice's suspension was?
What did it end up being, 7 games?
No, it was 2 months. It wasn't, they didn't do it by games. He was suspended for 2 months.
Jesus.
Yeah. The Richie Incognito. Remember when Richie Incognito bullied a guy?
And
almost killed himself. Who is it? The guy from Stanford, right? He was suspended indefinitely. That suspension lasted from mid-November, and they reinstated him in February.
Remember, it was a lot of N-bombs that were dropped there that made that even more gross.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That was probably like an 8-game suspension in total for Richie Incognito. It's really interesting to see. Greg Hardy, do you know what his suspension was? 12 games.
Yep.
They reduced it to 4.
Yep.
And then Vontaze Burfict, actually, and this is where I do have a problem. Vontaze Burfict, he had a 12-game suspension for violations of the player safety rules.
And that was the repeated headhunting.
Well, yeah, like trying to kill Antonio Brown and everybody. Like, as if we didn't see that coming from that infamous photo of him pointing at Matt Barkley and yelling at him when he was at Arizona State against USC.
Well, that, you know, actually,
that's one of my favorite pictures of all time.
It actually goes back further than that. Did you know that? Burfict actually had an issue with Barkley back in high school.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was a thing that had gone on for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Burfict was an absolute psychopath for his entire career.
Yeah. But those are the this is what Deshaun Watson is on board with, is that, like, the NFL doesn't suspend guys a long time. Now, did I want more? Did I think there would be more? Yeah, I said 12 to 16. They're at 11. And I wonder how much the fact of the game he's returning for factoring into 11 games. Because
a whole lot.
11 instead of 12. Like, 12 is a standard. I went and I looked up. Nobody in the history of the NFL has been suspended 11 games before. 11 is a weird number to suspend a guy.
It is.
Their 12th game of the year is against the Texans in Houston.
They can do two stinky birds with one stone.
Like,
that's what they're trying to do. They're gonna air out the Texans and Watson at the same time, and they will do it against a franchise that doesn't matter.
So it won't be a national game.
Well, that's the thing, is somebody's probably going to try to pick it up now. I'm sure they'll try
it
to flex
on
that.
CBS at 10 a.m.
Yeah. So, but this is, you don't put the stink on another franchise. You don't taint another franchise that doesn't need to be dragged into this. I think that's grand scheme of things. That's the most important thing for the league here when they came to where they were going to land. The difference between 10 games, 11 games, 12 games if you're not doing the full year, I don't think it really matters. But by putting it against the Texans, you don't drag another franchise that wasn't embroiled in this into the coverage.
See, I guess maybe I'm a little bit more of a cynic about it, and I think they're just trying to continue their cuteness of having a QB play against their old team, like Russell Wilson playing against the Broncos week one and Baker Mayfield playing against the Browns in week one.
Well, I think they're just going to make this worse for Deshaun Watson, too. That's where my mind went, is that because the people of Houston do not like Deshaun Watson.
No, they do not.
Because he did the quadruple whammy on them. He, one, before any of this even came out, he said he wasn't going to play for the Texans anymore. So the city was already turning on him. Two, became a serial, creep. If, you know, he's not been convicted of sexual assault, but he's been accused of a lot of sexual assault and a lot of sexual misconduct. And they've turned on him even more. They didn't even want him around, period. And then, on top of all of that, the people that were kind of drug into this thing, as the case continued to go on, and they found out that, you know, the ownership was involved with it, security was involved with covering it up by giving him NDAs. The people of Houston do not like him, so booze will rain down come, what is it, December 4th, when the Cleveland Browns head to Houston for a 10 a.m. kick, man. It is going to be a miserable experience for Deshaun Watson when he comes back.
Which, again, I think it's another part that kind of plays into this. And the idea of putting it's not going to end, but they can get the stink of it all off on the Texans and Deshaun Watson in the same week is a bonus.
That is. You're right. They can get both of those out of the way. But there is a big caveat to all of this, because it's not just an 11-game suspension. It's not just a $5 million fine.
There is some training that needs to happen.
He has to undergo a mandatory behavioral evaluation, which he will not be reinstated to the NFL until he completes his mandatory behavioral evaluation and is cleared by the league-appointed therapist.
And the thing is, he's not allowed back in the building, I believe, until October 10th. He's not allowed to practice until mid-November, and then again, he's not playing until December 4th.
Yeah.
So he's got time to do this, but I wonder if the league gets there and is like, we're not satisfied with where you are.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a trigger there where they maybe do drag it out a little bit longer. I don't think that ends up happening, but I wonder if that's a possibility for them to backdoor this.
They left the door open.
That's exactly. That's what I think. I think there's an opportunity for that here if it gets to it.
Well, there it is. 11 games. He'll be back December 4th against the Houston Texans. It is the only 11-game suspension that I could find in the history of the NFL. They either go longer or mostly are way shorter than this. And they even get negotiated down from 11,
from that, yes.
11 to, you know, four or to 12, 12 to 4 like Greg Hardy. This one went from 6 up to 11. You know, they're cranking it up to 11. Maybe it was an ode to Spinal Tap. I don't know. They cranked it up to 11 and said, that's going to be your suspension.
Smell the glove or we take it to 11.
It went a step further, though, because Deshaun Watson, he continued to go down a road that I'm surprised they're even allowing him to open his mouth. But when he does, he's not making any headway for himself. We'll have that after Rust with SportsCenter.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Is it say less? That's what the kids say these days.
Yes.
Maybe Deshaun Watson should do that.
My guy, and I shouldn't say my guy, this guy. Not my guy.
No. Disassociate.
This guy and the NFL and the Cleveland Browns are diving face first into the pavement with their mouth open all day today.
So after Deshaun Watson was handed an 11-game suspension, fined $5 million, and ordered to undergo mandatory behavioral evaluation before he returns to the NFL.
All very normal things.
Yes. This in the midst of settling.
24
or
lawsuits.
In the process of settling 25 lawsuits.
He settled 24. He's got that last one.
Trying to get that last one.
He settled 23 of 24, and there was always rumblings of a 25th. that could come.
Okay.
That's all great news. This after his former team settled 30.
30.
He is going down the roads of just continuing to talk. And look, I will admit this. Deshaun Watson is in a no-win situation. Okay?
Of his own doing.
Absolutely. He is in a no-win situation by speaking. But as you're doing this, accountability is something that is mandatory if you're going to want to get in anybody's head of saying, okay, there is a little bit of remorse. There isn't. There's no accountability for what he said.
Remember on Friday when I said, why is he apologizing now? Why now?
He's not really.
Because remember, he did. Remember, he said he apologized on Friday. And anybody who was impacted, he actually showed the first bit of contrition we've seen this entire process. And less than a week later, he's walked every bit of it back.
Well, here is Deshaun Watson, who spoke to the media for 8 minutes on his opinion of the punishment.
Deshaun, if you think, if you maintain your innocence, is this punishment unfair?
I can't speak on the fairness. I only can really control what I can control. And that's, throughout this process,
the
NFL did what they had to do. And the NFLPA, communicated with the legal side. Like I said before, I focused on, being out here, being the best teammate and football player and quarterback I can for the Cleveland Browns. And I let the legal side handle their side.
But you must have an opinion on whether it was fair or not.
Of course, everyone has their own opinion. But I think, for my peace and my sake, I'm going to keep my opinion to myself.
But you didn't, Deshaun. That's the problem.
He wouldn't be here if he kept things to himself.
Oh!
Like his hands.
Well, yeah, more than just his hands.
Anything, really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, Deshaun. You settled a bunch of them.
I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
Okay. Now, settling may not be an admission of guilt, but it sure as hell is a vindication of any sort that you are... Okay, now, the grand jury's not moving forward with their cases.
It's not settling it on the legal side.
That is not, no. It means they don't have enough evidence because it turns into a he said, she said, because it was a calculated effort that he was making. And the targets that he was making, it was something that it was very easy for him to deny. That's why he did it so often.
We didn't have the Bob Kraft tape.
No, he wasn't busted in a sting. He wasn't going to a shady massage parlor. No. And look, we've seen interactions that he's had with these women. I'm sorry, but there very well may be, because everybody wants to go, well, it's a cash grab. There very well may be, maybe, some women that are sitting there and saying, I'll just get in on it because I can get a nice payday out of it. Sure, there may be. Not 20, not 25.
No.
Like, come on. Like, seriously. That
knowing
is
the process you have to go through.
Way too far. Yeah.
Knowing the process you have to go through to be a part of this, would you be like, you know what, for money, I'm okay. I'm going to go through this. Because one thing that Deshaun Watson said there is, I'm standing on my innocence and I'm going to move forward. What about those women?
They can't.
They can't move forward.
Never.
They don't get to stand on innocence because if there's a single one of them that isn't in it for money, and I'm not saying that's the case, that they're all in it for money.
No.
But by just saying that there's one, that there's one, then you violated a woman's sanctity. And there's no level of innocence that you can stand on.
And there is a different standard of proof in a criminal proceeding versus a civil proceeding.
Yes.
Criminal,
yes.
It is, beyond the beyond a reasonable doubt.
OJ
and a civil
Simpson.
Proceeding. Yep. And a civil proceeding is a preponderance of evidence. So basically you just have to be like 51% yep. sure that somebody did the thing in question.
Yeah. Well, it's sad. It's that is the sad part about it is the... there is no accountability being
taken. He legitimately feels like he did nothing wrong. And the thing about this, if I step away from this and divorce myself from all of the just bleepity bleeps of this, how on earth can you be worth this much money as Deshaun Watson is and continue to get up in front of people and speak so unprepared? I cannot wrap my head around the it's stupidity wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in more stupidity. And I do not understand why he keeps talking.
Well,
like I genuinely because, like hurts my head.
Here's the thing is that he has not had to face for it really at all. I mean, what happened when the Texans found out about it? They gave him NDAs.
And right? they sat him and paid him.
What happened when he said he wanted out and they said, we don't want this guy around us anymore.
They traded him.
And what did he get? You got fully guaranteed 200 and what? 40 or 260?
He has yet to face
$230 million contract.
He's going to lose $650,000 off his contract. That's what
because,
he's going to lose.
Because this year he'll make $45 million. $45 million because he only had $1 million in salary. $45 million were in signing bonus. He'll miss $600,000. So he'll still get paid $400,000 for the games that he does play.
$350,000.
And that's still the part that pisses me off the most about this is that the Browns, I mean, there's no other way you can look at it other than the Browns structured his contract the way they did because they knew this was coming.
Oh, yeah. They knew that from the jump. Hell, they have Haslam on record today. Again, another person in this whole thing who keeps talking when they should not.
Yeah.
Ownership came out and said they would do the trade for Deshaun Watson again.
Yeah, and that is something that we'll get to that a little bit later because Jimmy Haslam is a completely separate offshoot in all of
That's what I mean. It's every single level, it is just bleh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's accountability. It's accountability. Like, how many times has he been held accountable throughout this process? He has, and this is not to say that he has not been put through the ringer emotionally, right? Because of everything that's going on. I'm using air quotes and
yes.
being very sarcastic here because it pales in comparison to anybody else that's involved in this case and what they're going through. And he'll lose his endorsement money. He's getting $230 million. He's still going to get paid $45 million this year. He got his way. He got out of Houston. He's going to a Super Bowl contender. Like, he is in a better situation now than he was before.
And he's still going to go jump in his pile of money, Scrooge McDuck style.
And I saw somebody say this the other day, or not the other day, but earlier today when an announcement came out. I want to credit who it was to, but it's a really poignant part of this. Somebody said that, you know, Deshaun Watson got his punishment, and there was a reply of, no, he hasn't. Like, they're talking about second chances. Like, well, he doesn't deserve a second chance. He's never been punished for the first one. Like, they're like, what about Kareem Hunt? And they're like, Kareem Hunt got cut. Mm-hmm. He lost everything. Deshaun Watson hasn't been cut. He hasn't been removed. He hasn't been excised.
He got paid last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he hasn't felt the punishment at all. And even though he's missing 11 games, he's still got $45 million to show for it. He doesn't. There isn't a. And that's why I wanted the punishment to be heavier on the fine side. That's why I wanted like a $25 million fine. Hit that freaking bonus money. Make it hurt on a level that you just can't not fathom.
But that's the way his contract was built, is so that nobody could touch it. Nobody could touch it. All right. Let's take a break from this. This is heavy stuff. We will have your feedback. I'm looking at the fan text line 503-250-1080. We will get to your feedback on there, but we're going to do a palate cleanser. It's all fun and games till somebody breaks their wrist and ribs. Actually, this is going to that tease broken wrists and broken ribs doesn't sound very funny,
but it is.
It's hilarious. Next on The Fan.
When I wake up in the morning, love, sunlight hurts my eyes.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bears heavy on my mind.
I feel like you're trying to creep Yacht Rock Friday into Thursday a little bit, Russ. I feel like
preemptive.
I feel like it's bleeding in. And Danny said this during our first or second break. He goes, doesn't it feel like it's Friday?
Yeah.
And I think Rust is trying to, like, you're trying to inception a Friday on a Thursday.
These are just, I cannot help where they pop up. They're in the rotator.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, though.
Hey, who built this rotator?
Well, don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
Flip side of this, it is not a lovely day. It is Satan's butthole outside.
Dude,
it is so gross outside right now.
It is a musty, muggy mess.
We'll try to have Bill Withers sing it into existence.
R.I.P.
We sure about that? I mean, I don't know.
The Bill Withers is dead?
Yeah.
I hope so. I played like a whole show of his music like 6 months ago because he died.
Okay.
The dew point right now is 64 degrees. That's how humid it is outside. That's so gross.
He died in March. Good Lord. You had me think. I was like, wait a minute. Is Bill Withers dead? Yeah, he did. March 30th, he died.
We're going to have to do one of these dead or alive games.
Oh, God. That's so much. It's so much better and worse than the who he played for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, one guy that's alive barely is
almost died.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. Wait, what are they called? It can't be a sideline reporter because you don't.
Dugout reporter.
Dugout reporter?
Yeah.
All right.
Dig Dug.
All right. Dig Dug. David Vasey?
I think Vasse.
Vasse.
I heard him say, yeah.
Vasse. David Vasse. He is the dugout reporter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Joe Davis, who does a great job calling games on Fox. He does NFL now. I think he's in the lead booth now for Fox on NFL Sundays.
I think you're right.
They have Joe Davis and Nomah Gasiapara.
Nomah.
As their broadcast crew, and these two could barely keep a straight face for the report that Vasse had been waiting for all series long.
Austin, you haven't played in the game in 12 days.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. Wrong button, my bad. Okay, again. Let's do this again. The report he'd been waiting for all series long.
David Vasse has been talking for 3 days about going down the slide here in Milwaukee. I've never heard somebody so excited about doing anything, and David did do it today. Watch.
All right, here we go. Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap!
Strike on Muncie. Oh no, okay.
Oh no.
First, I want to report that he's okay. So, okay. Dave.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so you hear him. He's going, holy crap, holy crap. There's a huge slide in like left field of the Brewers stadium.
It's a big slide. And Do not get it twisted. It is a big slide.
Every time the Brewers hit a home run, their guy goes around the slide and he does his thing. Well, they allowed him to go down the slide. And immediately, he's sitting on the potato sack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you hear the, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap.
Because he's
going
booking
around.
It.
And then he slams into a padded wall.
It's like an outfield wall.
Which is right next to, I guess probably four feet from the end of the slide.
Oh, I think he's got about like 8-9 feet.
What?
I think he's got a little bit
you
more room
than
that.
You think that's 8 or 9 feet?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of room.
Well, he slammed in it hard enough to where he broke his wrist and six ribs.
Opened up the rib meat.
Six ribs.
And when you watch the video, and I tweeted it out from the 1080 account a little bit ago, it is, you got to have the volume up because you hear him hit the wall, but then you hear this guttural, ugh, where all the lifeblood drains out of him, and you immediately know he is, he's got a little bit of room.
It's like six or 7 feet, yeah. But, I mean, it's still the slide.
Well, and he like tumbles. He opens up into the, and I think it's part of it is just he opens up, and I think there's like a seam there in the wall, and I think that's where it's reinforced. And I think he kind of like folds around it.
And he had his arm got trapped underneath him.
Yep. So he couldn't brace himself against anything.
And so when he says hi, guy, when he drops this.
Hi, guys.
He's got a cast on his arm.
He's waving to the TV crowd. Joe Davis and Nomar are laughing hysterically as he broke his wrist and six ribs. Six ribs. Oh, man. That makes me laugh so much. But here's the thing about this. That was supposed to be like the fun. Hey, look at what a great time this is. Nobody else will ever be able to do that.
No, liability's done. Imagine had they done that live and not a pre-tape segment. Had they done that live, my God, the pure joy and bliss that would have come out of that.
Okay. This text at 503-250-1080, this does kind of remind me of that. There's a great one of a reporter stomping grapes on a morning show and she falls off. The audio is amazing. Have you seen that video?
No.
So this like a morning show reporter down in the Bay Area, she goes down to do like a grape, like, hey, we're going to stomp the grapes with our own feet and drink the wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on a platform. She
is
falls.
Is it the older video?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She falls off the platform and she's just like, you hear that.
The air.
And I think there's no. Yeah, it's bad.
Oh,
that one's
no.
Bad.
She goes face first.
Yeah, it's not good. That's a good one. Yeah, she falls over that.
The instructor woman does like a slight pause and stares down at her like, are you an idiot?
No. Yeah.
And then goes to check on her. But it's great because the camera's crew, this is a little bit older. This looks like it's like 10, 15 years old on the on the footage. But the producer clearly was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Take it back to the studio. And they cut back to both studio hosts and they're both sitting there slack jawed.
It's so good. All right. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Hey, the Big Ten gets a big payday, but that is just the beginning. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.